Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Hey, it's good to be here. It's really good to be here. It's an honour to be here. Put your hand up if I met you two camps ago up in the mountains. Thank you to all the wonderful women who blessed those blokes to come up into the mountain that year. What about the blokes that I met this year up in the mountain? And thank you to the women who blessed the boys to come up for that weekend. Father's Day. Well, it's an honour for Graham to have me here, and I just have my... I just want to show you the photo of the girl of my life. That's Margaret. She's on the front screen of my phone. And if there's any bloke here after I'm finished this morning that hasn't got his number one wife on the front of his screen, then I want to know why. You can't love your kids any more than I love my three sons, but I love my wife more. She's number one after God. And so every time I get a bit lonely on this trip, I just sit and look at her. And she's magnificent. She came into my life when she was 15 and a half and I was 16 and a half. So that's 53 years ago when I actually saw her at the Methodist Hall Hawaiian night. And it's been wow ever since. And that's when they had moo-moos. A lot of you young girls probably don't call them moo-moos today, but that's what it was. We have three sons, 46, 44 and 41. And we've got... they're all married, the boys, and they're all. We've got six grandchildren, and my eldest grandson's 17 in a couple of weeks' time. Yes, and I'm going to go to the Department of Transport with him after 27 years being a driver trainer. They know me well down at the test centre, and I reckon that's got to be worth a little bit of something, hasn't it? And my youngest grandson is two. His name is Jet. And my four-year-old grandson's name is Juzzy. How about that for a name? J-U-Z-Z-I. And when I first heard that name, I used to try it out in the coffee shop. I'd go and I'd say, when they say, what's your name? I'd say, Juzzy. And they'd always say, what? And I'd say, J-U-Z-Z-I. But that little bloke, he's four now and he's a Juzzy. And he's a real Juzzy. Now, I've got to watch the clock. And I've got Graham there in front. He's going to give me the sign so we can get going. Father's Day. Father's Day for me is all about being who I am. There was a time in my life when I was so far into my own being and who I was. And I was, if one of my sons, for example, Luke the Duke, he's the youngest bloke. He's been away. He was away for 11 and a half years over in Thailand, China, and Cambodia. He went away as a teacher and he came back. He's got a Thai wife and we've got a little girl, a little granddaughter called Matilda. And oh, thank God he's come home after 11 and a half years and he's taken over the family business at long last. But you know, over there, there was some, to go back some years ago, there was the Father's Day had come along and I wouldn't get a phone call from him and I'd get all upset and bruise my little heart and that. But I didn't realise it wasn't even Father's Day over in China on that day. So get over it. Father's Day is a day. I think it was $760 million that we wasted at the shops. We could have just all gone out and bought Bunnings vouchers for us and we'd been pretty happy. All the other stuff, the jocks, the socks, the handkerchiefs and all that other stuff, we really don't need anymore. And most of the men in Australia, and I get to meet lots of them, they really don't need much for Father's Day. And most of us look back and we think, well, we gave it our best shot, but we stuffed it up in lots of ways. Not because we didn't try, it was probably because we didn't really have anyone to say, hey, this is how it is to be a father. It takes man to be a father. It takes a boy. Boy, being a father is not for boys. And I think, sadly, we've missed it. I've got a couple of treasured friends with me today. I've got Daryl and his daughter here, Kelly, and I'd like them to come up here now. And also I've got Tim and Anastasia. Put your hand up, you two treasured people. Wherever I go in Australia, God usually sends someone with me to probably help me out, because I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I'm just a lover of life, and my natural gift that God put in me is encouragement, and I don't know anything other than encouragement. Now, you two beautiful people, you've got a microphone in your hand there. I'm a father, I've made it. I'm honoured to be here because it's all Father's Days and all that. And I get to meet the women, and we'll talk about that. So, Father's Day. What are we going to get out of today to make Father's Day better for all the men of Australia who are fathers, who have got it wrong badly, and the young men who are going to become fathers? There are a lot of hurting men in our country today. It's probably the second favourite day for men to take their life in pain and agony because of this thing called Father's Day that's been put upon us in our society. And I'm not against Father's Day. I'm all for it. But I reckon that my Father God in heaven, he gives me 365 days as a father. And that's where we want to go today, so we can encourage those around us. Now, Daz.
Hi, Watto. Hi, everyone. It's lovely to be down here in Victoria. It's a bit colder, but yeah, it's all good. Yeah, I've got my daughter with me today, which is a real honour and a privilege on Father's Day.
We're not used to these people so well dressed. We're usually in the shed.
Oh, look, especially for me. I come from an island, Russell Island, and I had to discipline myself to not wear thongs here this morning.
When I first met you, they used to wear a beanie pulled down over your head, and you used to have your head down. But on Monday night when we go home in my truck yard, there'll be 150 men. Every month, men come from all over to do shed. And shed's just simply a safe place where three men can actually talk a little bit about a good bit, a hard bit, a sad bit, good, bad, happy or sad. And it's safe. And we actually get to have men spill it. So, Daz, let's get our priorities in order. Football.
Footy, well, winners are grinners and losers are losers. Well, who really cares about losers? And I think I'm on a winner at the moment.
Kelly and I happen to follow Carlton.
Well, we've seen what happened last night against my side that I follow.
My second pick's Brisbane. But I was down here when we won the three premierships and never let it be said. And the Hawks haven't got there and won the three yet, have
no,
they?
No, we haven't, no. We're looking pretty good for a third one, but, yeah, it's we'll see when September comes.
Talking about football is just a connector for you and I, isn't it?
It is, yep, exactly.
Let's get down to the real part of Father's Day. So what's the best gift that your father has ever given you for Father's Day? I mean, the big father. The father of all fathers.
The big father, biggest gift he ever gave me, he gave me two beautiful daughters and he gave me a son. And he actually became a mentor to me and steered me in the right direction as far as being a decent father. I made wrong choices in life and I abandoned my children, the three of them, and I never reconnected again with them for 30 years.
So 30 years... I remember you hadn't been to the MCG ever in your life, had you before?
Never been there. It was a dream. That's all it was until one day when the Hawks were in their grand final about, what was it, 4 years ago?
I think we came down and saw Collingwood and Carlton.
Oh, we did. That's right,
and when we got off the plane, who was standing at the baggage department after how many years?
Kelly. Kelly.
And I was present when I saw Kelly honour you as a father. Yes. That was a moment. Could you tell the folks what happened?
Yeah, that was a...
We'll do the quick version over.
Exactly, yeah. Reconnection with my daughter. I was heading down the wrong path in life and that, and I was in a rehab for addiction from alcohol. And I chose the alcohol over my children, and I took off in the wrong direction, and 30 years down the track, and here I am at a rehab, and I'm making amends in one of the steps there of the spiritual program. And anyway, came graduation night, and was sitting there, and anyway, my daughter had flown down, Kelly had flown down from Melbourne. And,
you don't fly down to Brisbane from Melbourne, you fly up.
No, you fly up, that's right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so flying up to Brisbane, and Kelly was at my graduation there for completing the program in recovery. And I never forget sitting there, you know, and those people commenting about, you know, recovery and stuff like that. And I never forget Kelly got up, you know, and she said to me, she said, you know, you are my dad, and I've forgiven you for everything you've done wrong, and I still love you. And it was...
What a woman. What a woman.
And trying to hold ourselves together was just something else. It was just, we were all just feared. We were overwhelmed with how Kelly was there. You know, she had made that journey and on her own, on a plane, all the way up to there. You know, after 30 years, you can imagine it. It was just something else.
Mm. Yeah, good. So, Kelly, what are we going to do about the blues?
Oh.
Give her the microphone, mate.
To be honest, I'm thinking of defecting.
Right now, I think I'd be joining the old man with the Hawks.
Yeah, no, I can't go that far.
Can't go that far. Okay. Well, my eldest son follows the ruse and whatever game's on next week. If I can get on the plane and come down and do another Father's Day trip, I'll be down barracking for the ruse next week.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I might join you in that one.
So, I said, what a woman, and I mean that. Going forward as a daughter to a father who worked his guts out to think he was doing all the stuff that we can get sucked into. Has it been worth the pain of reconnecting now?
Oh, most definitely. You know, it's, Dad spoke about it. We were disconnected for a long, long time, but to have him in my life today means more than anything. And to know that we've both aligned ourselves with God's will now and go forward together with hearts filled with forgiveness and love and honesty. And, the pathway looks really bright for us, you know. I can forget the past now. I don't have to live, and I know Dad doesn't either have to live in shame and guilt and remorse. And that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, you're a champion. I think you could sit down now.
Thank you very much.
Can you look after Tim down there? See this bloke here, Tim? He had the butcher shop up in a big shopping centre up north, and he's calls himself Tiny Tim, but he used to say Meat Tiny. How good was that? Meat Tiny. And we had the best steaks at the shed night always. Daz, Kelly mentioned the heart. Let's get down to the fact of who we are as men on Father's Day about our heart. So in meeting God, you were trained, you grew up as an atheist, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It was like a young child, you know, probably 5 years of age, and I always called him my dad, but he was my stepdad. I never knew my real father. He was killed. I never forget my stepfather talking to me one day there up in the country where I was born and bred in Warren, at Eastside Dubbo, that he said, there is no God. He said, if you think there is a God, he said, and God is so powerful, how come we've got rapes, we've got murders, we've got wars and everything like that? And at 5 years of age, I was led to believe that was true. There was no God.
So fast forward down the track and you get to be in this rehab, the Salvation Army rehab, where God's the central part of the program, and you're looking around you and going, well, this God thing doesn't even exist. But there came a moment when you actually dropped onto your knees and you called upon the name of the Lord. It was as simple as that, wasn't it? You went straight to the top.
I went straight to the top. There was no other way for me.
Yeah. And you don't deviate to this day 7 years later?
No, I don't.
And this is the message for men of Australia. There's a hurting country out there, and it's a loveless country because we haven't got the love in our hearts that's only available through the true love of God our Father. And this is living testimony to one of the many thousands of men that I come in contact around that are just crying out to find out what's down in their hearts, so that the journey from the head down into the heart. That's how painful was that?
That was, because all I had the head knowledge, basically, and I had nothing in the heart. My heart was empty. My heart was cold. I had the rocks around the heart, and slowly but surely, the chipping away at the heart. You know, the rocks were removed, and today, you know, I find that it's been replaced with diamonds. I've got diamonds around my heart, inside me. You know.
Yeah, and Ezekiel, I was sitting at it. I went along to a church camp and I was sitting up the back having a little bit of a, oh, well, you know, this is good, Lord. What are you doing to sort me out today? And I heard a bloke up there talk about Ezekiel 36:26, and he said, this is in truckee terms, God will take away all the rocks from around your heart and give you a new heart. And was like, wow. And I heard that. I don't remember anything else about the weekend. So if you're sleeping now, that's all right. God will wake you up when you need to hear what you've got to hear. But that was what it was. It was about these rocks. And men, we've got so many rocks we can, and women, but men especially, we think we've got to do life up here, and we think we have to know everything and control everything. And this, we're getting down to the father bit soon. But to be a father, you've got to get right with the Father. I think we said it here in the music, and then Graham said it. So we're doing a journey to get down into our hearts. What about the shame, man?
Oh, Dave? The shame. Look, I'll tell you what. I always wonder why now that I've got my neck's got a bit of arthritis in it. And the reason why is I've hung my head in shame all my life. And that's all I believed in, that I was not worthy. I had no confidence within myself. The low esteem and the shame had basically killed me to the point where all I do is walk around like that with my head held low.
When I first met Daryl, he used to wear a beanie pulled right down over his eyes. It was a Wynnum, a Manly Sea Eagles beanie, and he'd have himself and he'd be walking along like that. He'd come every shed night and you always had your head down.
Yeah, and always sit up the back row.
And we had a bloke down at Narra Court Francis area in South Australia, a sheep farmer, and he said, "Watto, can you come down?" He said, "We want to have another shed night." And he said, "These blokes are coming from a rehab." And I said, "I can't come. God's got me going somewhere else." I said, "What about Daz coming down?" And he went, "Oh, gee, that'd be good." So we got another mate over in Adelaide who'd been an alcoholic for 21 years of his life. And I phoned him up and I said, "Hey, if Daz arrives in Adelaide, can you grab him and take him up to Narra Court for the shed night?" Mm. So here we had two godly men, two men with new hearts and no shame. And they go to the rehab, and the bloke that was running the rehab said to you, "Daz?
Dean, yeah.
What did he say to you? Oh, you wanted to introduce you to these blokes?"
Yeah, and I said, "I already know the blokes." And he said, "How do you know that?" And I just looked over there, and all these guys that I'd seen, every one of them had their head hanging down low. And I just looked over and I pointed and I said, "They're the guys from the rehab."
He knew them. Yeah. He knew them. Don't miss that point. When you walk into a room, when you walk into people, if you see someone with their head down, and ask God, God will show you that we've got our heads down as men. And we're home, we hide, we're hurting, we're in pain. And we need someone to come along and get alongside us and do time with us and just spend time with us.
What about that little thing you sent me about the lifting of the head?
Psalm 3:3.
Yeah.
The lifter of our heads. God is the lifter of our heads. How good's that? Where else can you get that in today's society in Australia? Tell me where you can actually get society today to get our heads up. Daz, so journey now as a father, you're a spiritual father.
Yep.
Daz is going to start his diploma in
drug and alcohol. It's a case management course. I know nothing about a computer, laptop computer. I'm old school I had the passion within me to do this, but then I thought my sponsor, my mentor in the program of recovery, had said to me, he said, "You're probably like everyone else. You're just trying to save the world." And he said, "You'll get on with life and you'll get over with that." But it overwhelmed me, the passion for helping others and giving. This was the heart connecting with the head. And finally, here I am just clearing my mobile phone a few weeks ago, going through rubbish and stuff on time then getting rid of the unwanted baggage off my mobile, like I've had to get off my own life. And all of a sudden, here I am speaking to a guy in Estrada College talking about a course I'm watching, and I'm saying to him, I said, I can't do anything like this. I don't even know why I'm talking to you. And he said, you know how to operate a mobile phone? Because I said, I've got fear of a computer. And he said, yep. He said, well, there's one problem solved. He said, you got any experience in drug and alcohol and everything like that? I told him, I said, I have. He said, well, guess what? He said, I'd strongly advise you, get on there, we'll sign you up. And all of a sudden, it was over and done with. And I said, what have I done? But I looked straight up in the sky there, and I knew God had intervened and said, this is where you're going. There was the big picture.
And for seven years on the journey, this is my brother. This is my brother. And all we do is introduce people to love God, to know Jesus and follow Jesus. As simple as that, don't we? Yeah. No strings attached, just straight down the line. Meet Jesus, know and love God, and get on and love our brothers. Mate, thanks. I'll see if God comes to life in me with all the stuff I've prepared to talk about now. But God bless you in your journey. Yeah,
thanks.
Darryl's
thanks
got so I many spiritual sons and daughters at rehab. Those that are needing help, that don't have their fathers on earth anymore and ain't yet sure to trust our Heavenly Father. And Darryl's on a one-way ticket. And just one final thing about him. We were having a pity party one day, and he told me that he prayed to God. And he said, God, get your eyes off Watto and me, because we've got a lot of payback time. There's a lot of hurting men in Australia out there. Could you believe he prayed that prayer to God? And we're in the team.
And what was that other prayer I'd always say? I said, God, you cannot take us from this earth yet. If you do, we will go on protest, because we have so much work to do in here, we are going nowhere. And just to finish off on it, you know, I lived the whole of my life not only in shame, just in guilt and all that. And you know what? A lot of it was through. And the most hurt I used to have most of the time came Father's Day. I knew my kids were gone, and I had that little glimmer of hope that they'd ring me. But I destroyed all of that. And every Father's Day, come Monday, I'd be so miserable and I'd be so heartbroken that my children were not in my life. And yet today I've been resurrected, I've been transformed, and I've been put back up on the mantelpiece. He's put the broken pieces together.
Because of the big fella.
Because of the big fella. Yeah. Praise goes to God, because otherwise I wouldn't be here today. So I say to each and every one of you guys here, happy Father's Day, and God bless you all.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. So I can... That's what's going on around our country, folks. That's what God's doing in the heart of men all over our country. Anyone who's sitting at home feeling sorry for yourself, saying we're a godless nation, come with me. Come into the back blocks. I was up in Finlay last Monday, 163 men at the RSL, and there were only 1,980 people in the town of Finlay. How good's that? Okay, Lord. I'm excited. Can my heart beat with your heart just steady now? And can my heart beat with everyone here? And Lord, what comes out now, can each person here hear what you want them to hear? Now, do we all know we're sons and heirs of the King? Do we all know, or we know about it, we've read it, but do we really know it in our hearts? That's the hardest thing for fathers and men, to get to know, to get to trust the Creator of the universe, God, our Heavenly Father. Because trust is hard. Every day I say, Lord, teach me to trust you more today. And give me a new heart, create in me a new heart and put a new and right spirit in. I know where the verses are in Romans and Galatians where it says I'm an heir to the King and I'm a son. But I've got to believe it. I've got to be able to, as a father, I've got to be able to jump up on his knee. Most of my life I was a good bloke, but I didn't get up on my father's knee. That's the pain of it. Now, love, hope and love come from God by His Spirit into our hearts. And if anyone's sitting here today going to be a father or been a father and mucked it up in any way, shape or form, we can't go back, but we can say sorry. We can say sorry. And the love that we need to receive into our heart, if we're going to be bound up by all the stuff of the world, the pain and the hurt, and a lot of it's justified, a lot of people have been shamed into pain and they can't really open up and just let God just take control of our hearts. So as fathers, my three sons, I had to learn how to listen to them, because every one of them is a bit of me and a bit of Margaret. They're not all of me and they're not all of Margaret. And I'm not real sure which part. Different times, different parts come out. But I had to learn how to appreciate each one of them. My personality is very different. Margaret and I went to a seminar the other week and we were in this big group of about 60 people, and it was about the second party of life, and it was a Christian thing. A couple come from America and they did one of those personality studies, and they had the lions and the otters and the beavers and the whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Guess I was over here on my own. I was on my own. My wife and most people were in this, were they the beavers? They do all the good stuff, right? And I was over here. And all my life, my poor dad, I was his only son. He didn't know how to handle me. He didn't know. But I've got a grandson that's sort of like me now. And instead of holding them down and trying to keep them quiet and shut them up and that, it's like I say, keep him going. Don't slow him down. Let's go. Let's go. I want to party every night of the week, and I want everyone around me to have a great time. And I'm, yeah, I am passionate. They tell me I'm passionate. But I haven't got it right with all my sons. I couldn't love them anymore. I've had some great examples. My father-in-law he's dead now. He had four daughters. He had, oh man, I used to go over to his place and he used to cop it from my mother-in-law. She's 90 today and she's still in control of the four daughters. She's a magnificent woman. I just love her so much. She's been in my life for 53 years. And my father-in-law, he had little education. He had he didn't have much going for him. He had a pretty basic job. And we've got in our family, we've got kids from, we've got a professor, we've got a rocket scientist, and I mean a rocket scientist, and a lecturer at the university. At the other end of the scale, we've got this bloke who sent his first three school teachers to the mental hospital. And do you know my three sons? I've got an engineer and I've got my blokes are all so educated, it's ridiculous. And do you know Granddad Ted? Do you know every one of his grandkids thought they were his favourite? You got that? That's a key. I've got six grandkids and I love them all and I spoil them all and I want them all to think they're my favourites. And I was sitting in there last night with Chris and Graham. And I was on it. I was at the Father's Day dinner. What don't I try? There's Matt and Narelle and Chloe and Levi. And there's Pete and there's Liz. Is that right? M. Pete and M. And Ari. And that's right, isn't it? And then there was Alan, and there's Liz, and there's Chloe. No, did I say Chloe? Hang on. No, Hannah. Gotcha, Hannah. And there was Elijah. And then there was Ari. No, Ari was before. Reuben, he's here. And I was honoured. And you know, Graham came and picked me up from the airport, and he had Ari with him in the Honda. I didn't know that that's the best car in the Bible too, the Honda. Because Graham told me it says there they're all one accord, Honda Accord. My wife drives a Honda too. But you know, all the way home from that airport, I was man, and Ari, every time Ari talked, and he's 2 years of age, I shut up and Graham talked to Ari. And Ari never shut up the whole way in. It was so good. And it was boys. It was a boy coming out in a man. And we weren't going to be talking about our man stuff while we had a boy. And this is Father's Day. This is every minute of every day. And then I had the honor of meeting you today, Pastor Hal, 99. I'll be around when I'm 99 too, because I'm inspired by you, brother. And last Wednesday, this is how good God is in the Father's Day thing. I got invited to this Christian retirement village. It was like going to be called a shed barbecue. And there were about 20 blokes there. And the oldest bloke was 103. Hal, you're only a baby. And there were another bloke was 100, and there were 98, 97, and you couldn't get in there unless you're about 85. And, you know, I'd never, ever realised how great it was. Because, you know, when you go somewhere, like, oh, you come in, you go, oh, g'day, Hal, how you going? Oh, fantastic, meeting this old champion, it's so good. But I was in a room with 20 of them. And, you know, they all laughed and they all had fun and they're all boys and we talked and we laughed and we cried. And I had just the best time. And before I went, Margaret said, I'm 70 in November. And she said, have you got a message to the old blokes? Because you're getting to go to all these old places to talk to people. But there was a boy in every man. So I'm getting a bit carried away. If Margaret was sitting down in front, she'd be going, keep on the subject, please. I've got all these notes. And I think I'm getting close to time. But this is the most important. This is the most important thing. Women! You women! You make us fathers. Without you, we're nothing. And I really wanted Margaret to come here today. And Anastasia knows her, and Daz knows her, and Tim. And when if you saw my three big sons, I'm a jockey beside my sons. And you see my wife, she's like this. She just fits there, beautiful. She gave me the honour of being a father. And out of her body came these three magnificent sons. Don't forget that, girls. Don't forget what God's given you. And it says there, what are you laughing about up there? Ephesians 5:25. You've all heard it before, haven't you? Hey? Husbands, love your wives. You got that one? Have you really got it? Because that's the single thing in this country that we need most of all. We've got so many broken relationships. I've got so many spiritual fathers today that are crying and they're in the pit. They can't see their children. They've spent all their money at the courts. They're distraught. Domestic violence. There's so much violence caused because fathers can't see their children. It breaks your heart. Husbands, love your wives. My wife, 49 years, she's been my wife. She's been a rock. Every day of my life, she has been a believer. She's been just the same girl. She's drop dead gorgeous too. I can look at her all day long. But she came out of a family that never even said, you know, I'm fairly touchy, kissy, lovey, darling, I love you, you're gorgeous. Tell her 100 times a day, you're gorgeous. She is Anastasia, isn't she? She's a gorgeous woman, isn't she? But she had to learn to receive from me all the stuff about, you're wonderful, you're gorgeous, I love you, you're beautiful. Narelle, you're gorgeous. So are you, Chris. But, you know, can't see with my glasses on. Oh, by the way, one of those old blokes has got my other $300 pair of glasses. He thinks they're his, but he must have taken them from the dinner. But seriously, love is of God. 1 John 4:7. That's my Bible text. Love is of God. Now, I can say I love you, Tim, and I love you, Dais, but it ain't the love that I have for Margaret. No one's challenged me on this one. I go and talk to men, the dirtiest, hardest places you like, and I say, deep down, man wants to love a woman the right way. Woman wants to love a man the right way. What's the right way? 1 John 4:7. Love is of God. And if you can't get that in your heart, how can you give it out? How many broken relationships are we got, fathers, because we haven't been able to open our hearts to let our women come into our hearts? I did it. I didn't know. I absolutely love Margaret so much. I'm more in love with her now than I was any part of my life, because God puts love into my heart that I can just give out to her. And I don't even have to have words. I can sit there with her or do a drive with her, and it's the love that's in here. How do you get it? Go straight to him. Do not fluff around the edges. Just go straight to him and ask for a job in your heart. Women too, don't hold back the love that's within you that God is available for you to love your wife, love your husband. I can tell you, I would not be standing here if it wasn't for the love of my wife. She has loved me through every situation. And there's times I've been fair dinkum, what would I say with this woman here? A jerk. Is that okay? But you know, this is what I do to her now. Anyone read this Proverbs, the Passion Translation? Have a listen to this, fellas. You want to have a good Father's Day? Get yourself one of these. I won't read the lot to you, but this is my Margaret. I've got 3 sons, and I hope and pray for them to be able to read this to their wives often. It's called The Radiant Bride. And this is Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Who could ever find a wife like this one? Margaret is a woman of strength and mighty valor. Margaret's full of wealth and wisdom. The price paid for Margaret was greater than many jewels. Ian has entrusted his life to Margaret. For Margaret brings him the rich spoils of victory. All throughout her life, Margaret brings him what is good and not evil. How many men know that their woman brings them good and not evil? I'll skip a little bit because I'm running out of time. Over here further. And her husband, that's me, Ian, arises to speak of Margaret in glowing terms. My heart is to speak the most glowing things I could possibly speak about my woman. And get your wife on your phone, fellas, so that this stuff of looking at other women, look at your own woman. Look what God has put into your life. This is what our country wants. What about this one? This is Margaret, and many of you women here, but this virtuous Margaret lives in the wonder and awe and fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity. So Ian, go ahead and give her all the credit that is due, for she has become a radiant woman, and all her loving works of righteousness deserve to be admired. Isn't that the answer to our hurting country? The answer's spiritual. We've got body, mind, and spirit and soul. We spend a lot of time on the body. We're in the gym. We're buying all the organic stuff. And look at me, I'm a product of the 110% fat-free ice cream. But where do we get the soul and the spirit? Straight from the top. 2 minutes to go. I better go quick. Two minutes to go. Go straight to the top. Fathers, love your wives. Don't Annoy your kids. That's another one I'm supposed to tell you about today. Don't exasperate your kid. That's words in the Bible too. You want me to tell you where it is? I know. It means this. Just because you're having a bad day and you've got a bad job or you're feeling rotten and whatever, don't pay it out on your kids, no matter how old they are. I did it. I didn't even realise I was doing some of this stuff because my personality's like me. My three sons aren't quite like me. They've got a lot of their mother in them. They think my middle part is so... I annoy them. But man, I can make it happen and I can get it finished. I don't need to worry too much about that middle part. But listen to your children. Pray for your children.